Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. Bonnie is going to be joining us in hopefully about a half an hour or so. She's going to call in. She is with Mark and Susie today, and they all said to say greetings to all the living people and all the dead people out here. So for all of us everywhere, hello, howdy, and hey from Mark and Susie. And Bonnie, like I said, will be joining us here in a little bit. And in the meanwhile, we have Ron today with us, and he's just going to be with us an hour today, but he has a really cool topic for all of us, which I've spilled the beans to some of you. As you join us, you will, you'll hear, but in the meanwhile, Ron, are you with us?
I certainly am, and good day to you and all the listeners.
Yes, indeedy. And of course, I want you to start out tell us where to find you, because I know you're on Facebook, I know you have a Facebook page, and I know you have an email, and that's how people can get personal time with you.
Yes, I do have a Facebook, and it is under Ronald Cole, C-O-L-E. And there are a number of Ronald Coles, but I'm the one with the photograph that has that odd orange aura glow to it. Now, there wasn't any orange light when that photograph was taken. It was taken with a series of other photos, and that one came out only unique unto itself with that orange look. So that's why I picked that one for Facebook. And you can also befriend me with the Orange Glow Facebook site. Also, anyone who wants to contact me, please do so through my email, which is livingastro, LivingAstro, livingastro at AOL.com.
All righty. Sounds good. Okay, so today, what is our topic for the day?
Well, we kind of touched on this last week, Kelly, and I kind of want to reemphasize a few things because we were on the subject of the fact that anything that exists has a chart, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a living human being. It could be a corporation, a company, a business. On those cases, the business is the first day it opens its door to the public, and the corporation is the first day it goes public. You set up a chart for that, and that's the chart of that entity. Well, believe it or not, so does a city have a chart, and a state, and even a country. Anytime something is born, there is a chart that is now applied to that area or that place, that mass of energy. And every one of the 50 U.S. states have a statehood day, the day that they entered the union, the day they were signed, sealed, and officially a state of the U.S., and that is their birth date. And they all have a sun sign then, which means that every one of these dates I'm about to give will have the sun sign, and I'll mention the birth date or statehood day and the sun sign. Now, countries have a birth date. The U.S. is born July 4th, 1776. That's our birthday. Canada is July 1st, but I can't remember the year. It's in the 1860s. Maybe someone could call and say the date that Canada definitely was now an independent country. I believe it was 1869 because I think it was just after the Civil War, but maybe someone will call up and say what the exact year is.
Wow. So, okay.
And what
any of our callers and listeners know or chatters, it's like, type it in there. We'll announce it.
Yes. See, that'll be something someone who lives in Canada will know or may know, is the year that the country officially came into being and existence. You know, I would like to ask everyone to get out some writing material and pens or some writing apparatus because I'm going to go down the list of the U.S. states alphabetically. And this is important information to know. Oh, you do?
I've been preparing for this. I was like, yeah, I've been waiting for this all week.
Well, what's interesting is when I teach classes, in my fairly early part of my first course, this is one of the sets of informations we cover, and I insist that every student write this down so that they have it in their personal notes, and that means they'll keep it forever, unless they lose those notes, but they tend to keep their notes. So we're going to go alphabetically. Are you ready, Kelly?
I am. I am ready. I got my pen. I got my paper. I've got my writing surface here, and it's like I'm in good shape.
Okay. We'll start with Alabama, which is the first state alphabetically. It entered the Union on December 14th, 1819. December 14, 1819, and that makes it a Sagittarius state. Now, people will always ask, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, it means that if you are a Sagittarius or if you have a major grouping of important planets in Sagittarius, then there will be a certain attraction to, or luck. If it isn't even attraction, people may say, I have no attraction for that area. It will still be lucky for you because it's lining up with your sun sign.
Wow.
Now, one of our newest states, Alaska, is number two, and Alaska entered the Union January 3rd, 1959. January 3rd, 1959, it's a Capricorn state. Now, Arizona. a very popular state for retirees in that Arizona Statehood Day is Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1912. And that makes it Aquarius. Until we had Alaska and Hawaii come in as the 49th and 50th state, Arizona was the new one on the block. It was the new state from 1912 all the way till 1959.
Right.
That means it was the last state to enter.
Yeah.
Now Arkansas. Arkansas is June 15, 1836. That means it's Gemini.
1836.
Now,
and that's just one day off. That's just one day off from your birthday. No, that's a month off. Nope, never mind.
Well, it's a month off, but it's a sign of Gemini. But you know what's interesting is, how do we know this? Well, this is the date that the president wrote the writ of official action to make that state enter the union, and officially the presidents do this right before they go to lunch. So we know that if we set up a chart for Washington, D.C., you don't set it up for the state that's coming in. You set it up for the center of government, Washington, D.C., for about 11:45 a.m., shortly before noon, that on the day that the state enters the union. You could pretty much have the pretty solid chart of that state. Now, the next one is the next state that's having its birth date, or should I say its date of statehood. It's California. And California entered the union September 9th, 1850. September 9, 1850, that makes it a Virgo. And it is the only Virgo state in the country. Now, people will often say, Virgo? All I see is Rodeo Drive and movie theaters and theme parks and unique cities like San Francisco. And what does Virgo have to do with California? But they forget that a huge amount of fruits, tree nuts, and vegetables and that are grown in California. Just look how many, when you're in the produce section, that come from California. And Virgo is very much associated with the harvest. It's very much associated with plants and plant growth for human consumption. So the state of California's Virgo energy is more reflected in areas like the San Joaquin Valley and the Imperial Valley, and where many of these are grown. Now, next, we'll go to Colorado. Colorado is August 1st, 1876.
Wow.
It's a Leo state, and it entered the Union just about 100 years after the U.S. came into existence.
Yeah.
Connecticut is January 9th, 1788. January 9, 1788. And it's Capricorn.
Another Capricorn.
So, and if I'm going too fast, tell me, Kelly. I'll slow down.
Delaware.
Maybe I'm going too slow. Delaware.
Oh, no.
Is
nope,
December
not at all.
7.
Is what?
Delaware is December 7, 1787. A lot of sevens there. December 7, 1787. It's a Sagittarius state. Now, we need to actually include the District of Columbia, although it's not officially a state. It's the seat of the government. And interestingly enough, D.C. was not really incorporated until February 21st, 1871. It was well after Lincoln and other presidents, so it took it all the way till after the Civil War. So when we look at February 21st, 1871, it's a Pisces area or territory.
Yeah,
now,
so
the next one.
Notation on Delaware there, December 7th was also Pearl Harbor Day.
How interesting. That's the very good. I'm glad you noted that. That's the statehood day also of Delaware. Few wise people who knew that could have been celebrating it when such a tragedy happened. The next state is where I personally live. It's Florida. And this is a big one because so many people vacation here and maybe even may consider removing here in the future. It entered the Union on March 3rd, 1845. March 3rd, 1845. It's a Pisces state. So unless you've got some big good stuff in Pisces, you may not do the best here or have good alignments with Pisces. Georgia, just to the north of Florida. Georgia is January 2nd, 1788, and it's a Capricorn state. Now, here's an interesting little byline. The city of Atlanta is also a Capricorn city. When it was officially incorporated, it was under the sign of Capricorn. So if you live in the Atlanta area, you're in a double Capricorn energy. The city
wow.
is Capricorn,
wow.
and the state is Capricorn. The newest one, Hawaii. Hawaii entered the Union August 21st, 1959. Let's remove that 100 years. August 21st, 1959, and it was still a Leo state.
Yeah.
You might consider some years that the sun will be in Virgo or enter Virgo somewhere during the day of August 21st. Well, it didn't until the day after. So Hawaii is Leo.
Cool.
By one day.
By one day.
Idaho is the closest state to the U.S. birth date. Idaho is a cancer state. It entered the Union July 3rd, 1890. So one day away from the U.S. birthday, the 4th of July. This is
wow.
the 3rd of July. And of all 50 states, it's the closest one to the actual birth date of the U.S. The state of Illinois is December 3rd, 1818. And
ooh.
That makes Illinois a Sagittarius.
There, that was the year
Indiana.
My mother was born.
1818.
Oh, no, not 1918. Sorry, I was 100 years off there. Never mind. Yeah, she
was
really old.
I was almost 100 years off with Hawaii, so we're okay there. Its neighbor, Indiana, entered the Union December 11th, 1816. So both of those states are Sagittarius,
ooh.
Both Indiana and Illinois.
Illinois, wow.
Iowa. Iowa is right after Christmas, December 28th, 1846, and it's a Capricorn state.
The Capricorn. There's a lot of Capricorns. Wow.
Yep, there is. And more are coming up, I believe. Now, Kansas surprises people because at first it may not seem like this sign, but when I describe some of the events there, you might make the connection. Kansas entered the Union January 29th, 1861, that makes it Aquarius. And many people think Aquarius, but we have to realize Kansas's connection to airplanes, and airplanes are ruled by Aquarius. Airplane parts, airplane productions and parts. So there's a lot of that connection with the state of Kansas, and that is, again, one of the things that Aquarius is associated with. All right,
right.
Kentucky.
Kentucky
is
bluegrass.
June, yes, the bluegrass state, June 1st, 1792.
Gemini.
June 1st, 1792, and it's a Gemini state. Now,
wow.
the next one, Louisiana. So if you live in Louisiana and you're listening to this, you should remember your statehood day now and celebrate it or get others to start celebrating. Louisiana became a state on April 30th, 1812. That makes it a Taurus.
Taurus. Very
now,
solid.
Yes. Yes, very solid is right. And Maine, way up there in the upper corner
ooh.
Of the country, the state of Maine entered the Union March 15th, 1820, which means it was not one of the original states, and many people get shocked at that. Because they think
wow.
this was Maine through Georgia, but actually Maine came in 1820. It's a Pisces state. Well, that makes sense with all of the fishing and the lobsters and
right.
The lobster fishing associated with Maine. This one really fits. Maryland,
cool.
the next one. Maryland is April 28th, 1788. And that also makes Maryland a Taurus state. Just 2 days away from Louisiana. Different year, but
right.
Close. Now,
yeah.
Massachusetts. Massachusetts might shock some people, but it's February 6th, 1788.
Oh, wow.
February 6th, 1788. That makes it an Aquarius state.
One day off for me. Wow, cool.
So there, you've got a state that's really close to your birthday.
Really
then.
Close to me. That's cool.
Well, there's another Aquarius state right next to Massachusetts. That's Michigan. And Michigan is January 26, 1837. That also makes it Aquarius. And Aquarius rules automobiles. And Detroit and its connection with the new cars coming out and car launchings and car productions and car making, that's a connection with Michigan.
Wow.
Minnesota is May 11th, 1858. Ooh. So that's the one that we tend to celebrate close to Mother's Day, May 11th, 1858. That makes it a Taurus state.
And what's really funny is my older daughter, her best friend, is also her birthday is also on May 11th. That's funny.
Well, mention Minnesota and her. Tell her to make a journey there.
I will.
Travel around and see if she likes it. Now, let's go way back down to the south again, to Mississippi. That entered the Union December 10th, 1817. It's a Sagittarius state. We're halfway done.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Next to
a lot
Mississippi,
of Sagittarians
we're going to go
there.
To...
Wow, surprise.
Oh, yeah, you'll be interesting. You'll see certain trends. And we'll discuss them, too. Missouri... Cool. Missouri is the next state coming up here, and it entered the Union August the 10th, 1821. So August 10th makes it a Leo state.
Another fire sign, wow.
Another fire sign, exactly. Montana, not far from where you are. Montana,
big sky.
Yes, the big sky country. It entered the Union November the 8th. 1889. There's a lot of eights there. November 8, 1889. That 89. Makes it Scorpio.
Wow.
You're going to find, we're now going to start noting that there's a lot of Scorpio states out west. And I think this is the one that's beginning the trend here with Montana.
Okay.
Nebraska, this one always surprises people, and frankly, it even surprises me because it doesn't seem to be like the sign it is, but Nebraska is March 14th, 1850. March 14, 1850, making it a Pisces. And people can see Pisces associated with Florida and the coast and the fishing and the water and Maine, but they have a hard time thinking of the sign of the fish associated with Nebraska. But it nevertheless entered the Union then.
Wow.
If you go to Las Vegas, I hope you have some good aspects to this next one because Nevada has its statehood day, Halloween. It's October 31st. Did I go too fast?
No, that's good. October
31st,
wow.
1864.
Oh, my goodness.
October 31st, 1864. And Abraham Lincoln was trying to enter Nevada as a northern state. So it would have a quorum, and it happened. It was entered as a northern state, and it was kind of the swing state that gave the statehood placements for the north. It is Halloween, and in fact, on the day that Nevada entered the Union, the sun and moon were both in Scorpio. So it's a double Scorpio state. So if you go to Las Vegas, I hope you have some good placements in Scorpio because you're in Nevada. Okay, let's go to a smaller new eastern state, New Hampshire. We're going to start entering the news now with New Hampshire.
Right.
And this one is tricky because this one is the first day of summer. It's June 21st, 1788. So some years, June 21st could be Gemini. Other years, it's Cancer. So when we looked at 1788, and the time that New Hampshire entered the Union, its sun was in the sign of Cancer. It was at the first beginning degree of Cancer. So officially, this is one of those cusp states. It's Cancer, not Gemini.
Wow.
New Jersey, the next new one, New Jersey.
Right.
December 18th, 1787, and that puts New Jersey as a Sagittarius state. Another one out west that a lot of people find very alluring and very attractive is New Mexico. And
oh, yeah.
New Mexico entered the Union January 6, 1912. January 6, so that makes it Capricorn. And
wow.
As far as my memory serves me, it was the newest state until Arizona came in a month later. And then that became the baby of the country till 1959. But New Mexico was the second baby of the country then.
Second baby. That's funny.
New York. This is a big one because of New York City and so many power principle things from New York State. It became a state July 26, 1788. And
Leo.
Now, are you noticing how many of these colonies, former colonies, eastern states are all entering the Union 1788? Remember
yes.
how many of them, if we go back, like
13,
New Hampshire and others, you'll see that that was when, not all the same day, but that was the year in which basically they were popping in former colonies of Britain into
right.
states of the new United States.
Let's say the original,
all right, now,
the original 13 colonies, which is
right.
it's interesting that there were 13 original colonies.
Right. And they all seem to come in as states in 1788, but at different times throughout that year. They had
right.
to, I guess, reach certain situations of population and qualifications before they were officially admitted. Now,
wow.
North Carolina, a very popular state for people in the eastern part of the United States. North Carolina is another one on the cusp. It's November 21st, 1789. November 21st, 1789. There was one of the original colonies that came in a year later.
Right.
This one is Scorpio because it could be either sign on that date. It could be Sagittarius or it could be Scorpio.
Right.
But officially, we've looked it up, and it's the last degree of Scorpio. So North Carolina is officially a Scorpio state.
So it'd be like Scorpio at 29 degrees?
29 degrees, exactly, the last degree. Just like
okay.
New Hampshire would be 0 degrees Cancer. Now, that sounds like an odd degree if you haven't studied astrology, but actually 0 degrees is the first degree of the sign. So New Hampshire
wow.
is 0 Cancer, and North Carolina is 29 degrees Scorpio.
Wow.
Another north is North Dakota, and that one is November 2nd, 1889, and that also makes it a Scorpio state. No question there. It's solidly in Scorpio. It's not near a cusp.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio, a very important state for the early development of the country. Ohio is March 1st, 1803, and that makes it Pisces. Now, that's only 2 days away from Florida, which is March 3rd, and it's very interesting how many, many people moved to Florida from Ohio. There is a lot of people here. And they've actually been living in Ohio and in the future or now Florida in a state or area that has the same kind of energy because it's born or, so to speak, incorporated under the same sign. Okay, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is November 16, 1907. So that was a newer one, 1907. That makes Oklahoma Scorpio.
Scorpio, wow. I see what you're saying about the trend. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of the western states that are in the fall, yeah.
Yeah, look, we have Montana already, Nevada. We've got North Dakota. You can call that central to western, I guess, Oklahoma. Oregon. Oregon is February 14th, 1859.
Oh, wow.
And that makes it Aquarius. Now, this is kind of interesting, folks, because although it's separate years, that's the same day as Arizona. Arizona
right.
also entered the Union on February 14th, Valentine's Day, but it was in 1912. So we have two states that have their statehood day on Valentine's Day.
On the same day.
Oregon
wow.
and in the state of Arizona. So if you live there, start telling everyone, not only celebrate Valentine's Day, celebrate statehood day also.
Right.
An important state, a keystone state, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania enter the union December 13th. That's December 12th. Change that to a 2. December 12th, 1787. Well, that one kind of jumped ahead of the others, which were 1788, but this one got in a year ahead. December 12th, 1787, it's Sagittarius.
Right.
Our smallest state, Rhode Island, May 29th, 1790. And that makes it a Gemini. And I also believe that's the same day that John Kennedy was born, but not 1790. He was born on May 29th.
Right. Different year.
South Carolina, another one of our original colonies, entered the Union on May 23rd, 1788, and that makes South Carolina Gemini.
Also Gemini.
Now, here's something interesting. South Dakota entered the Union November 2nd, 1889, and that makes it a Scorpio. Now, why is that interesting? Well, if you look at North Dakota, it's the same basic
date.
They entered the Union on the same day.
Same day,
and
North
they
and
were
South.
Signed in separately at the same time. One was signed first as a state, and then the president immediately went in to sign the second one as a state. They were not signed in at the same moment because they were not the same place. One is North Dakota, one is South Dakota. But they share a common birth date.
Wow.
Tennessee is June 1st, 1796. It's kind of early then, 1796, and it's Gemini.
Yeah. I think there's another June one. I thought there was another June 1st one back here.
Oh,
somewhere.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them there that are in June. Arkansas is or something like that.
Kentucky one.
Now, Texas, this is a big one because of its size. Texas is December 29th. December 29th, 1845, and that makes Texas Capricorn. Same year as Florida, but on a different part of the year. So it's a Capricorn state. And interestingly enough, both Texas and Alaska are our two largest states in land mass size, and they're both Capricorn.
Both Capricorn. And which is just within a few days, because December 29th in Alaska was January 3rd. But of 1959.
Yes, January 3rd of 1959. But it's not too far apart in days.
Yeah.
Utah is January 4th, 1896, and that makes it a Capricorn state.
Another
See,
one.
We're getting a lot of those Capricorns.
Capricorn, very earthy. Down to earth.
Yep. Down to earth. And there's so many national parks, national monuments, things of the beauty of the earth in Utah. It really has some remarkable scenery in the state because I've traveled throughout much of Utah. Back to the east now to Vermont. Vermont is March the 4th, 1791, and that makes it a Pisces state.
Vermont, okay. And that
now,
is,
a
I'm
big one,
Vermont,
Virginia,
is
because...
You say Vermont
I'm sorry,
is
what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say Vermont is famous. Isn't that the one that's famous for its maple trees and maple syrup?
Absolutely. Vermont maple syrup and maple trees. Exactly. And it's got a fruitful water sign, Pisces, as the time that it incorporated. A big one for us is Virginia because Virginia, like Ohio and a few others, have a nickname called Mother of Presidents. So many presidents are from Virginia, especially in the early part of the United States. So Virginia is June 25th, 1788. That makes it a Cancer state. June 25th, 1788. Now, the state of Washington, now this is not Washington, D.C., because we did that already, but the state of Washington entered the Union November 11th, 1889, and that makes Washington a Scorpio state. And here is another state in the western
another
part of the country
out
that's
west.
Scorpio. Yeah.
Wow.
So basically,
which is
starting
also
from the Dakotas sun. Going out west, you have a lot of Scorpio states. I mean, you've got Nevada, you've got Montana, you've got Washington. There's a lot
North
of Scorpio placements there. And
North
South Dakota. The only state that's Scorpio in the eastern part of the United States is North Carolina. The only Scorpio. And it's 1 degree away from being another sign. It's the last degree of Scorpio.
Right.
Now, here's another cusper. West Virginia. This one entered the union on June 20th, 1863. June 20th, 1863. And that means it could be Cancer or it could be Gemini. So when we did research, meaning astrologers, we found out it's Gemini. Throughout that entire day, the sun was at the 29th degree or last degree of Gemini. So West Virginia officially is Gemini.
Okay.
Wisconsin. Wisconsin is May 29th, 1848. And that means it's a Gemini state.
Mm-hmm.
And another one back here in 1826, Rhode Island.
State for cheese.
Yes. Rhode Island also is May 29th,
but it's
1790, and this one's 1848.
Wow.
Now, the last state, number last, only because of its alphabetical listing,
Wyoming.
Is Wyoming. And Wyoming is July 10th, 1890. July 10, 1890, making it a Cancer state. Now, what's very interesting, it was the state, the first state that ratified women having the right to vote.
Right to vote.
It
yep.
was the transition state for that. And people often are shocked to hear that bit of correct history. They think, Wyoming, why would it start there? But it did. And Cancer is connected with females. Cancer is the sign of our country. Cancer is ruled by the moon. And it was Wyoming that started the trend, or should I say started the activation, not trend, but activation for women to vote, and then it became like a domino effect in other areas of the country until it finally cleared the whole country.
Wow.
So those are the states. I know there are 50 of them, and we went through them kind of slowly, but I wanted people to have time to hear and write it down.
Because yeah, I did. I got those. That's awesome.
Now, this means everybody who lives in a particular region now know your statehood day. Now, if you want to research it to prove that this is right, you can do so on the internet and that, and you'll find that these are the correct dates. And some states actually make a big deal about celebrating their statehood day. One of them is Nevada. Nevada is very much connected with statehood celebrations. They have all kinds of parades. They close school down. It is Halloween, but they don't celebrate Halloween. They celebrate Nevada, whose state colors are blue and white, and they have parades with floats and blue and white colors and flags with blue and white, and they make a big deal about it throughout the state, and particularly in the capital and in Reno, and they used to do it very heavily in Las Vegas, but Las Vegas grew so large, it's kind of forgotten about its celebrations on Statehood Day, but it's a major holiday there. They close things down, and people just go out and celebrate.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
It would be fun if every state does this.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it did. Gee, one of the things that I'm going to be interested to do now is I'm going to go back through and I'm going to look up their birth cards just for the heck of it, just to see what all these are.
Well, I do know a couple of the state's moons. The next state to have a statehood day in coming up in our calendar time here would be California. It's the only Virgo state in the country, and its moon was in Scorpio on the day that it entered the Union. Florida, its moon was in Capricorn. I know that. It's a Pisces state, but the moon was in Capricorn. And I want to also point out, and maybe someone has caught this already, there are no Aries states. There are no Libra states. Libra and Aries.
Aries.
You think
we're
out
totally
of
forgotten.
50 chances, you'd hit one state entering under Aries or one state entering under Libra, and it has not happened.
And it did not.
So
I'll be darned.
People will say, I'm a Libra, which should I move to? And I'll say, well, you actually kind of have to look at the cities then, because as far as a state, there isn't one that has that sun sign yet, at least. And again,
I was
going to
say, would you possibly look at the complementary, you know, because like Libra, say, for example, Libra is an air sign, Aries is a fire sign. So would they do best, you know, possibly with the states that are like either air, you know, their elemental sign, like fire or air?
Absolutely. That would be the one way for a Libra or an Aries person when they're looking from the position of the sun in their chart. That would be their best situation to deal with. Now, I'm not saying if you are a Scorpio that you have to run and move to one of these Scorpio states, but I'm saying that there
right.
is a natural energy from that vibration of that state to your enhancing you. Even though things can go wrong and anyone can have challenges at any time, there would be a tendency to have ways out, or they'd have a tendency to find things having a turnaround for the better because you're in a harmony unto your chart and unto yourself.
Right.
So now cities are also incorporated under different signs. This one gets trickier because people get into the picky conversation about, well, is it when the first group of people decide to settle there? Well, is it when a group of people vote on and decide to give a name to this place? Well,
don't they have like a city charter, you know, or something like that? It's incorporated.
It's the date a city is incorporated, and that's the key. The date the city is signed, sealed, and incorporated, you now have a birth chart. And I mentioned during the course of this session that Georgia, the city of Atlanta, is Capricorn, and that fits in a way to the state because the state is Capricorn. That's a double Capricorn area. Now, in the state of Florida, there's one Pisces state that I know, a city that I know of, because it's a Pisces state, and that would be St. Petersburg, Florida. St. Petersburg uh-huh. actually was incorporated on leap year, February 29th.
Oh.
And
How
that
cool.
makes it the same sign as the state. But I just will give you I can't remember all the cities, but I can just give you across the board some of the cities and a few of them, not a lot, just what their right. astrological signs would be. Because, of
sure.
course, everyone, let me see. All right. I do remember that way, way back, a long time ago, the city of Los Angeles was incorporated under the sign of Virgo, and that's because its full name was Our Lady of the Angels, but it is a much longer name than that. And it was dedicated
right.
to the Virgin Mary, and it was incorporated under the month of Virgo, the sign of the Virgin, and that makes Los Angeles Virgo. Now, Chicago, I know, is a Leo a city, but it has many planets in Scorpio, but it's still a Leo city.
Okay.
New York City is under the sign of Cancer. Even though the incorporation of the boroughs into one region occurred at another time, the official charter of what is now New York City occurred under the sign of Cancer.
Wow.
Philadelphia is Scorpio. So I'll try to get across the bigger cities. So Philadelphia is Scorpio. Pittsburgh, on the other end of the state, is Taurus.
Wow.
And Cleveland, Ohio, is Capricorn, but that's one of those cusp things. It was incorporated on December 21st in the 1700s. I don't have the exact year in front of me, but the sun was at 0 degrees Capricorn. It had just moved out of Sagittarius.
Wow.
Detroit is Capricorn. That's a Capricorn city. We don't want to forget some in the south here. New Orleans is an Aquarius city, believe it or not, but it has many planets in Scorpio. Yeah, it's Aquarius. There's certain freedom there, but there's a lot of planets in Scorpio and in the city of New Orleans. Charlotte, North Carolina, is Scorpio. Charleston is Gemini. Nashville, the music city, is a Taurus. People often scratch their head saying, well, Nashville, Taurus. What is that associated with music? But Taurus rules the throat, even though it isn't always singing, although a lot of singing can be musical instruments too. Baltimore is Pisces, and there it is with the harbor. and its connection with the water. Boston, it's a Virgo city, and for a long time Boston had, we don't remember this today, but if you're old enough, you will remember there was a prudish attitude, and there used to be a term commonly said, banned in Boston. Boston would ban certain movies. They would ban certain things they were very prudish about, and that was where the, I guess, the discriminatory side of Virgo came out.
Okay. Right.
Now, Houston, one of our biggest cities, I think it's number three now, is Gemini.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, Minneapolis and St. Paul, we mentioned them as twin cities. Well, Minneapolis is the sign of Gemini, the twins, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
But St. Paul, its twin, is actually Taurus. But Gemini, Minneapolis' sign, is a much bigger city.
Right.
Dallas is also Gemini, just like Houston.
Wow.
San Antonio, Texas, is Pisces. And if I'm going to say
that,
you know,
is San Antonio towards the water side? Or
it's in the middle, but they do have something very interesting. They have the River Walk there, and they have cafes and restaurants and things right outside facing the river. They have little arch bridges going over the river. And that's not too far from the Alamo. And all of this is built around this attraction of this river running through the area of town. And there's even one hotel that the river actually runs through it. Actually runs through it, because I've seen that. And it's a water sign.
There's a sign something that says a river runs through it. That's pretty
river
cool.
River runs through it, literally.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City is Cancer. Albuquerque is Aries.
Oh, there we go. There's an Aries.
There's an Aries, but that's the city. But it does hit, finally we hit the sign of Aries. So those of you that are Aries people, we haven't hit a state yet, at least Albuquerque will work for you.
Right.
Denver is a Pisces city. Denver was incorporated, this one I've got the date, March the 4th, 1885. I don't know how I got that date, but I do have it for Denver.
Cool.
Another big, big city in the country that's Pisces is Phoenix. Phoenix is either number 6 or maybe even about 5 now, but it's Pisces. Tucson, the other major city in Arizona, is Aquarius. And that's interesting. The estate is Aquarius. Tucson is Aquarius. That would be a double Aquarius energy.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City. Yep, a desert area. Salt Lake City is Capricorn, and the state of Utah is Capricorn, so there's a double Capricorn energy. Now, for those of you that want to gamble and go to Las Vegas, it's a Taurus city. No wonder Taurus is associated with money. It was incorporated May 15th, 1905, I believe, 1905.
Cool.
And it has strong Gemini placements. There's a number of Gemini placements in the city of Las Vegas on that date, but it's still officially a Taurus.
Right.
Seattle, very creative city. Seattle is Sagittarius. It's December 2nd, 1869. Now, I don't know how I got that, but I did happen to get someone research the birth date of that city, so it's Sagittarius. San Francisco is Aquarius. San Francisco is February 18, 1850. Now, there are some researchers that say Los Angeles is Aries, and they give it as April 4th, but actually that's been found not to be correct. It actually is officially Virgo, because that's when the city had its roots and foundation hit.
Right.
San Diego, another city in California that's big, is Aries. San Diego is April March 27th, 1850. So that puts it under the sign of Aries. What's interesting is San Francisco and San Diego both became incorporated cities shortly before the entire state of California became an official state. And this was all done in 1850. And it was right after the 49ers, after the 1849 gold rush.
Right.
That brought so much action to California that actually cities were incorporated and the state entered the union right after it.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I don't have a lot. I don't have other things to add in there. Smaller cities, I wish I could help with those. But these are kind of some of the larger ones across the
major
country that I have in a list.
Yeah.
So how about anything you want to discuss?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like one thing I can think of right offhand is to go back through and it's like, and maybe do the capitals. It's like, well, I think a lot of these might be, you know, the ones you have listed might be the capitals of their state.
Well, one that hit was Phoenix. Phoenix is the capital of Arizona, and it's a Pisces.
So is Denver.
City.
Denver with Colorado.
And there we go with Denver, too. Yes, you're right. Denver's Pisces. Interesting. Both Denver and Phoenix are Pisces, and they're both capitals. Although the state of Arizona is not Pisces. It's Aquarius.
Right.
And the state of Colorado is Leo.
Which is really funny because Arizona is really dry.
Yeah, I often thought about that, how odd that would be a Pisces city. It doesn't seem to make a lot of connective sense, but it's been a center of spirituality, mysticism, metaphysics, intuitives, psychics, and some really interesting people who have intuitive talent, and a place where there's been a lot of intuitive research. In fact, one of the ARE clinics, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which was Edgar Casey's keyboard foundation, has an established clinic there in the Phoenix area for treatment of people. So it's really quite interesting that the Pisces energy came out as metaphysical rather than literal water. There is a river that runs through it called the Salt River, but the riverbed is dry all the time until a flood comes through, and then it's got water, but it's just a dry river.
Now, you know what else is really interesting is and this, oh golly, this happened back, I'm going to say, in the 1970s after I got out of high school. I moved to Phoenix because my sister and brother both lived there. At that point in time, people had so many, you know, backyard swimming pools, and there were so many, you know, pools and so many water sources, I'll say, in Phoenix, that it was actually starting to get a little bit humid because of the heat. They said a typical pool would evaporate at least an inch of water every day off the pool. And it was, you know, it was getting like more humid and more muggy in Phoenix, which was really funny.
And you know, one thing that's really odd, but it fits the Pisces, is Phoenix is a high ownership for boats. The population has one of the highest percentages of boat owners in the country. And there's all these giant lakes not far from Phoenix, Roosevelt Lake. I forgot all the name of them. But there's various lakes formed by dams.
And reservoirs.
Pleasant was one of them, if I remember. Maybe I'm wrong with that memory. But people could go not that far outside of the city of Phoenix and be on a boat or body of water.
Right.
Be on a lake, rather, on their boat, on this body of water that
Havasu
stays there permanently, doesn't dry up.
There's Lake Havasu in Phoenix. Or not in Phoenix,
Havasu,
but it's
kind of on the California edge of California-Arizona border. But it's not that far from Phoenix. People could make a drive there in a day and then come back.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because we live there. It's like, they took us out there. And there was, at that time, there was, that's where I learned that fish liked corn, because they'd sell like bags of popcorn, and you could throw it out, you know, into the water. And it's like, you'd see these huge, I mean, like, you know, 2-foot-long fish come up to eat popcorn. You know, these huge mouths, they'd get like, you know, 5 or 6 pounds at a bite, and they'd fight for the corn. It was like, it was really funny.
It is kind of interesting when you start applying this and start seeing the different locations and start seeing. Now, people will often say to me, well, what value is this? Well, if you're going to be given a choice to make a transfer to a certain city, or more interestingly enough, a certain state, because we now have all the statehood dates, and you might have a choice going on between where you are, where you could be going, or maybe yet a second direction you could be going to. There could be two choices. You probably need to check the astrological energies. You don't want to get into a place that is under the sign, let's say, that your Saturn is in, because you're going to have delays and challenges. Like, for example, Saturn's in Scorpio right now, and it's been in Scorpio since October of 19, I'm thinking of the years now, mixing them up, 2012, yeah. Scorpio since 2012, October. A child born in the last year and a half plus would have Saturn in Scorpio. They would probably be better to avoid living in a Scorpio state because they would tend to have more of their issues, their challenges being brought out from living in that area.
Wow. See, that's good to know. That's really, really good to know.
And Christmas Eve, Saturn's going to go into a Sagittarius this year, and it will stay pretty much in Sagittarius. It's got a very brief return to the last ending degrees of Scorpio, but that's not much in 2015. But yeah. It's pretty much going to be making its permanency for about 2 years plus now in Sagittarius from Christmas Eve onward. So if you're born with Saturn in Sagittarius, you may not want to be going to a Sagittarius-ruled state because you will tend to have a lot of challenges happen. You would want to probably go to a state ruled by where you have Jupiter in your chart.
Aha, okay.
Jupiter, and you'll only know this if you have your chart done. You'll have to know where the planets are from the astrologer in the reading. And Jupiter, what sign Jupiter's in, that's a very lucky area for you.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, I was going to ask you real quick, too, because I know Monday, you said Monday was that Mars-Saturn conjunction. So what, I wasn't able to be anywhere where I had any news, you know, there for a couple days. So what happened on Monday? Was there anything significant, like either, I don't know, in our world, on our planet, any crashes, any, you know, it's like, what happened on Monday?
It didn't seem to have huge outward major news events. They seem to be kind of the same old news we've had. There's not anything of big time coming out except maybe that Napa Valley earthquake was something that stood out as being unique close to that time. It did not necessarily happen on Monday, but it happened approaching to it Monday.
Right.
But what also is interesting is it seemed to hit people's chart individually. People that I know had some really rough things happen to them on Monday. And it was kind of interesting because it wasn't just one event. Sometimes it was two and three and four events. Things seemed to just compound on that day. Well, we're moving away from that now, and Mars is now moving away from Saturn, and that alignment will not happen again for about 3 years.
Wow.
So 2.5 to 3 years, we'll get it again. So it is not a rare one, but it's not a pleasant one. In medieval times, in ancient times, this was the most feared astrology aspect of all, Mars aligned with Saturn. They blamed it on everything bad. Like I said probably in last week's show, they blamed it on the start of the bubonic plague. And there was an alignment with Mars and Saturn right before the plague began its infusion into Europe and started to spread. There were other things that they blamed that aspect on, and it wasn't long ago, maybe 100 years ago or 75 years ago, astrological writers would still look at that aspect of just something horrible. In fact, one writer said, if you were born with Mars conjunct Saturn, nothing you will ever do will work out in life. I mean, you might as well just hang it up there, because why try for anything if somebody gives you such a pessimistic comment? We know now that we have Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. These were not known planets to the ancient people because you could not see them with the naked eye. You had to have a telescope. And Saturn is the last planet you could visually see. And because of that, Mars and Saturn were always the bad ones. Jupiter and Venus were always the good ones.
Right. Love and good luck versus the other guys. Oh, goodness.
Well,
all right.
I need to do this, but I've got an appointment at 2
you've
o'clock,
got to run.
And I need to get running here.
All righty. Well, thank you, Ron, so much. It's like, this is really awesome. I will make sure this gets, you know, this will be in archives for sure. And this is again, one of those wealths of information. And, you know, like you say, we can copy this down. And I'm going to stick it in my three-ring notebook binder. This is really cool. I might type it up and make it look a little later because I kind of scribbled as I went. But, yeah, very awesome.
Well,
thank
note
you.
How many connections you will have with the state, and this means anyone who's listening. For example, I was giving this to a class once, and a woman said, oh, my gosh, all of the money that comes to our household through my spouse comes from this particular state, and that state was one day off from her birthday, and the closest state to her birthday out of all 50. And this bit about the sign of the state and the connection with the personal chart is very important to look into.
Wow, so, okay.
Well, I hope this helped everyone. It was a very technical day. I know we had a lot of specific information, but at least we got a lot of stuff down.
Good.
And those of you that wrote this down, you've got some valuable, correct information to always have.
And like I say, and that's in archives. That's the wonderful thing I love about this, because this is in archives, guys, and we can download this and keep it, as well as
go back,
whatever. So, all righty. Well, thank you, Ron. I know you got to run. Tell us one more time.
Yeah.
Ron is on Facebook as Ronald Cole, and he says the orangish picture. He gave us a little bit of a
background. It's the orange picture. It looks like I'm bathed in orange light, and we cannot figure out where it came from.
Why?
It was so unique that the pictures before and after it looked nothing like that I kept that one. I just thought it was so unusual. And then you can always reach me at livingastro@aol.com.
Living Astro. Okay, I'm typing that in there. Astro@aol.com. Okay, for a private reading with Ron. All righty.
All right.
Well, Bonnie didn't show up. I kept looking for her and kind of expected her, but she will be back next week for sure.
Okay.
For sure this time. I keep saying that every week, but she said this time for sure. Third time's a charm. Bonnie will be back next week, and we will be on track. I believe we have Brenda and Annabelle tomorrow, and I'm checking with Leslie, so we will see who we will have on tomorrow. Oh, guess what? She's there. Okay. Bonnie, you got to say bye to Ron.
I got
to
run. I don't mean to be rude, Bonnie. I don't mean to run off and say goodbye, hello, goodbye. But I've got somebody who's already waiting, so I got to go. So I'll see you, talk to everyone next week then.
I love you, Ron.
Love you all,
yes,
too. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey.
Talk to you soon.
Hi, everyone.
All right, bye.
I'm so sorry, Kelly. I'm at the beach, and my phone isn't working, but I wanted to call in and say hello, and I've got to go, but I love everybody. I'll be back on Monday. Mwah.
All righty. I just said that. I said third time. Third time's a charm. I've told everybody this every Wednesday now. It's like she'll be back Monday. It's like this time she really would be back Monday, folks.
I'm going to be back, girlfriend. So everybody get ready Monday at 1 o'clock, Susan and I.
All right.
I am at my friend's house, Mark and Susie, and Mark wants to say, he would like to say to everybody, we love the dead people. We can't wait till you get back. And I can't wait to rock it. I love you,
hey,
Kelly,
love
so much.
Here too.
I love you, girlfriend, and thank you for holding the fort down. You are so wonderful, and I don't know how to thank you. I hope everybody has appreciated that Kelly at least is keeping our show running. I'm getting back from New York and New Jersey on Monday. We are having our regular show, and I can't wait.
All right.
I love you, Cal. Mwah. Bye, everyone. Mwah. I'll see you on Monday.
All right. What I am doing today is a little bit of card reading here. So we've got a couple callers, and we'll start with you guys. And for card readings, what I need is your month and day. So we can figure out what your card is, and then your current year if you want to find out what's going on in your yearly reading. So let's start with area code 805. 805, you're on live with us. Yep. Okay, that's 805. 805, you're back in the queue here, and I will pick up our next caller. Area code 917. 917, you're on.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Oh, really good. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having your show. Okay, if I wanted to ask about someone else, do you need their date of birth as well?
Likely. If it's, it depends on what sense. It's like if you're asking, how that person is going to impact with you and a relationship reading, it's like, yes, that's best. But if you'd like to know just some of your own stuff about what to expect, it's like, we can do it either way or both.
Yeah, I would like to do, yeah, both. Yes, I would.
Okay.
My birthday is 11/27.
Okay.
Did you need a year?
Just give me your current age. What your current age is.
I'm 40.
40, okay. All righty. And who's the other one? The other
day. Oh, the other person, Robert. Well, no, you know what? I'll ask about Lewis. I want to ask about Lewis. His is 11/08.
08. Okay. And how old is he?
36.
And he is 36. Okay. And I didn't catch your name, huh? I'm sorry about that.
I'm so sorry. Tina.
Tina. All righty. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the show today. All right. Well, let's see who you are and who was this. I have positive vibes with Lou there, but anyway, that's my own deal. You guys have a 4-year gap, and I'm going to say right off the bat, it's like just in the Chinese astrology, that indicates you guys would be like in one of the triads, you know. So you would get along very well with each other, and it's like I'm not sure what the years are in that. I'd have to go back and look that up separately. But let's just take a look here. November.
Yes.
27th of you, okay, and you are 6 of hearts, and also you have an 8 of clubs as your planetary ruler, and Lewis here, now he's the beginning of the month, so you're a Sagittarius, and then he's
yes.
a Scorpio, so he's on the 8th, you said, right? Okay,
sure.
So he is a queen of clubs. Was it November 8th, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And he has two planetary rulers, because Scorpio does, and those are, he's got a 3 of diamonds as well as a jack of hearts. Okay, so let's see here. So I can see some interaction going to be going on there, because you both have cards that are clubs, you both have cards that are hearts, but what we look at for the main comparison, first of all, and I'm going to look at it as you see him, first of all. We'll look at what, you know, what you're seeing when you see this. And 6 of hearts is actually called, you know, your card, you're actually called the peacemaker card, which is really cool. That's a good thing. And the way you see him with that queen, and the queens of any suit also, you know, they tend to be very nurturing, very, you know, kind of mother hen-ish, you know, type of people. Your very first connection with him, though, is in the Venus. Okay, so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of love connection going on there. Your second connection that you've got is a Mars connection in the spiritual, which means you've brought this forward. It's like, you know, this is something that was started in a previous life that you guys had together, and then it's kind of brought forward. You're kind of finishing up, you know, some karma, some stuff that didn't happen, you know, from back in the day. Usually Mars brings with it a more, I'll say, assertive or aggressive or action-oriented type energy. It's an energy that you need to be very conscious of, you know, the both of you, so that because Mars can be a bickering, you know, or a fighting energy, but if you guys go out and take walks, you know, swim together, bike together, hike together, you know, get out and be active with that energy and make it, you know, very positive forward, it's like it's really a strong, passionate energy that'll move you guys forward in a relationship. Your third one is also another Venus connection. So, you know, there's a lot of loving feelings going on there. It's like the way you're seeing it. The fourth connection is a Pluto. And Pluto is kind of Mars. They call it Mars raised an octave. Pluto can be our power struggle. So it's like we draw someone like this in, so they act as our mirror. And it's like, you know, you get to see kind of how you are. And you find qualities in that person that you find very admirable. And, you know, you kind of like, I wish I was that way. And that can be very challenging sometimes because, you know, they're kind of like acting like a mirror that points out your weaknesses. So that can be, you know, just an awareness with that to deal with it. And then your last one there, as you're seeing it, because we'll look it up and see, you know, what he's seeing this like, is a Saturn in the mutual, in the spiritual. So this could have been like, you know, one of you could have been like, you know, it could have been a father-son or a father-daughter, you know, relationship, something like that. But Saturn is also a planet that's, you know, as Ron would say, is like, you know, it's kind of heavy, it's burdensome, but it's a father figure type of stuff. So with that Mars and the Saturn and the spiritual, it's like, you know, you guys have some things you're finishing up. Now, the way you're seeing it, the way they do this, if you think of a thermometer, you know, as you gauge stuff like on temperature, if you think of the zero mark there, and then you think, you know, 10 degrees above, 10 degrees below, that kind of stuff, it's a 20-point scale. You guys have a positive 7 in attraction, which is really high. Now, the intensity, which is how much you would tend to bicker or fight with each other, is a 2, which is, you know, that's pretty low. That's pretty good. You want that intensity level kind of lower because, you know, it means you'll have a more harmonious relationship. The overall compatibility, also, again, it's higher. It's a 4. It's a plus 4. So, you know, that's a really good indicator that, you know, you guys could do pretty much, you know, whatever you wanted to. You know, it would be, you know, from your point of view, it's like it would be a very lasting, you know, you could make that relationship last, you know, your whole life, okay? Now, we're going to turn it around a little bit and look at it from his direction, because the Queen is called the Mother of Intuition card. So I'm going to say that he is likely very, very sensitive. It's like, and he's being that Scorpio, it's like they're a water sign. So he does have a lot of intuition, a lot of feelings. It's like, you know, he might get his scorpion feelers hurting and sting, you know, things like that. So, okay, but let's see how he gets on with you, how he sees this. And again, okay, so his first connection with you is in the Venus. So it's like, you know, that loving feeling is there. Now his second connection is Pluto in the spiritual. So there was some power issues, some very, you know, heavy things going on, you know, in that previous time, that, you know, there's a correction there, you know, or things to finish out. His third connection, the way he sees it, is Mars. So again, there's that active energy, that, you know, that passion. It's like, you know, get that out, take that for a walk. The fourth connection, as he sees it, is Jupiter in the spiritual. Jupiter is the planet of our blessings. So some very fortunate things, you know, if you guys, you know, bringing forward, it's like fortunate things and really, you know, good luck, good, you know, whatever stuff that you guys didn't get finished up. So it's like, you know, you'd be finishing that up. And then the fifth connection, as he would see it, is Mars from the spiritual. So, you know, you guys might have been like, you know, brothers that are on the same territory, you know, something like that. But it's bringing that energy forward and finishing, you know, completing that contract, if you will. Now, there is, as he sees it, the attraction is a 6. Again, that's really high. The intensity is only a 2. The overall compatibility is 3. So it's like, you know, again, it's like it would be, I'm not going to say more, you know, more challenging, because it's just, you know, the intensity level is the same. You know, and like I say, 6 is a high attraction rate. Compatibility is a 3. That's still actually pretty high. So it's like, you can pretty much take that and just, you know, deal with awareness where you have, I'm going to say you have issues, in terms of, because there are things that you might be tempted to, like, you know, power spill over or bicker over, that kind of stuff. And that's when you kind of go, hey, let's throw on our jackets, let's go for a walk and talk, because fresh air, you know, literally pounding the pavement, you know, going out, you know, taking a jog through the grass, whatever. It's like getting out and moving that energy while you talk, so you got some fresh air, you know, clears your head, that kind of stuff. You will come to an agreement more easily. And it's like, and just being, again, that awareness, that time there's that Pluto connection, it is that, that, you know, that person is mirroring back, you know, to, you know, either he's mirroring it to you or you're mirroring it to him, some of the places where he's got some improvement to make. And that's always a little bit hard, especially for the men, to, you know, kind of look and go, oh, I could really improve there. But it's like, it's hard when it's coming from their lady. Sometimes it's really hard. So just depending on their ego. So does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps. I will say Bonnie is the one that does the, you know, the talk to the dead folks on the other side, because I'm not nearly as versed in that as she is. So it's like, I will say, she'll be back on Monday. Now, I believe we have Annabelle and Brenda coming on tomorrow, and possibly Leslie Journey. So we'll be on tomorrow also at 1 p.m. Eastern time, from 1 to 3. So give a call back then, because they have, I'll say, clearer messages from the other side. Okay? So if there are any more questions on that one, it's like, you know, give us a call back and have one of those ladies talk to you, because they're very, very gifted at what they do. I can tell you that from having them answer those questions to me. What's that?
Thank you. I have another friend. Would I be able to ask about him also?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes, we got to. Okay. We got some time today because we don't have a very large queue. It's like we got two other folks in the queue, so hang in there, guys. Okay, who would the other person be?
His name is Robert, and his birthday is 1/8.
Okay, Capricorn, January 8th. Okay, let's see. He's going to be a. Let's see. His birth card.
He's going to be one.
His birth card. He's in the space. It's like the. I'll say the. I call it the old people of the deck. The old people of the deck are the spades. On the 8th, he is, yep. Oh, okay, now there's, you got a likeness there. He's a 6 of spades as a birth card, and he's got a 3 of hearts as his planetary ruler. So that's, okay. I'm going to say there's going to be some commonality there with you guys with the sixes, because sixes, you guys are here. It's kind of the karmic card, and it's like you guys are coming back to, I'll say, learn lessons, to learn lessons about, you know, and finish up karma, that kind of stuff. Let's see. And the 6 of spades is called the card of fate. So it's like, yeah, very much so. Now, the way he would see this relationship, okay, with you, is the first connection is Jupiter and the spiritual. So again, there's some really, you know, really positive stuff there. And then the second connection is called the cosmic lesson. So it's like there's a cosmic lesson for, you know, you guys to be together to, you know, finish up whatever. The third connection is Uranus. So that is like the planet that rules Aquarius. It's about, you know, philosophical ideas, love, friendship, you know, all that good kind of stuff. Now the fourth one is Venus, and it's mutually, you both feel this in the spiritual. So it's like that usually indicates that there is a, you guys had a love relationship in the past that was not completed for some reason. I'm just going to go out of limb and say usually when that happens is because one of the other of you died in that lifetime before that love was completed. So it's like, you know, you're kind of coming back to finish that up. And then the last one is a Jupiter in the fifth position. So it's like Jupiter twice. So it's like really some good, you know, if you guys get together, it's like you could do a lot of really positive things together as long as you keep that energy positive. Now, the attraction is a 3, but that's okay. The intensity is a 0, so he would argue a lot less, and the compatibility overall is a 3. And what I will say is my life mate, my soulmate, person I had, we were a 2, a 0, and a 2. So it's like you can have absolutely, you know, the love of your life, and just, you know, you can have, I won't say lower numbers. I don't consider it lower numbers until I actually get into the negative numbers. But I'm just going to say, conversely, take a look and see how you see him here. Okay,
you.
So you first. You're, the way you're kind of connected with him is first of all, that again, is that Jupiter. So it's like, you know, you guys got a lot of positive things you can do. Now, yours is, the way you see it, there's the cosmic lesson in the spiritual. So, you know, again, that's something that's coming forward because, you know, that one wasn't completed. The way also you're seeing that is there's a Uranian in the spiritual, and then the Saturn in the spiritual, and a Jupiter in the spiritual. So this is totally, totally coming together and drawing this person in because you guys have some things to, you know, like complete and finish up. The Uranian is the, you know, the friendship, the philosophy, you know, things that didn't happen there. Saturn is, you know, may have been a, you know, some or other father-child relationship of some sort, you know, that was cut short. And then the Jupiter in the spiritual is always a really, you know, there's some really good fortune there. Now, you're right on the border. It's like, it really shows that, you know, your actual attraction to him is a 0, which is like it's right on the balance scale. The intensity would also be a 0. So it's like you wouldn't fight with him a lot. But the compatibility is a 2. So that's, you know, so that's a good thing. It's like, I will say you will have, of the two of these, there would be more, there'd be more interactiveness. There would be more, arguments, more, you know, type of argumentative type things, more interactive things that you'd have to be careful of with the Scorpio gentleman. versus this Capricorn. Capricorn, they're, you know, they're earthy, and it's like he's pretty solid. You know, he's pretty solid in that. So it's like you're going to find that his feelers are a lot less hurt than probably the Scorpios, you know, being the water sign. So, you know, it comes down just to a choice. It's like, you know, why do you want to be together, you know, with each of them? You kind of have to just sit there, you know, and evaluate, you know, what kind of, what life path you want to take with that, because there's, you know, there's connections with both of them, just from, you know, really totally different spaces and places, okay?
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Again, that's that free will. That's like, you know, what path do I want to choose? You know, because this is where, you know, you stand at the crossroads type of thing. It's like, and you really have a choice. So again, yes. I'm just going to say, somebody tomorrow might, you know, have some more, some better intuition in terms of, you know, it's like, it might be better, you know, for you to do this one or that one, but it does, it really boils down to, it's like, what path do you want to follow with which person this go round? And it also is, how much, you know, it depends on them, and it's like, and it also depends on their awareness. It's like how aware of they are of, you know, finishing up, completing, you know, what their mission in life is, you know, that kind of stuff. So hope that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
All righty. Well, and give us a call back tomorrow, because I'm sure Annabelle, Brenda, and hopefully Leslie would have some more input.
Okay, thank you. And your name again?
Oh, I'm Casey.
God bless you, Casey. Thank you.
Bye. You betcha. Thank you, Tina. Have a good one.
You too.
All righty. Let's see. We're going to try 805. 805, or you are on with us.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
There we go.
Hi.
We got you.
Yeah, sorry about that. How are you?
Pretty good. Who are we talking with today?
My name's Donna. Hi.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to
Hi. Thank you.
Okay, what's your question today here?
Well, I wanted to know if romance was coming in, because I did see a fellow that I was very attracted to and opened up, and it was almost like he was a soulmate or something, and I did send him an email, and I felt that he felt it too, and I wanted to know if was this good for me at this time for romance or friendship or...
Okay. Let me start with let's get your month and date and what your current birth year is. I mean, you know, what's your current age is. There we go. Okay.
Okay, I'm 60. My birthday's 4/22/54.
22. Okay, 4/22. So that's an April. You're an April baby. And let's see. Looks like you are the Queen of Clubs with a Five of Clubs. And I always find this interesting that we have... knock things down here. I'm getting too excited there. Okay, Queen of Clubs, and what did I say? Five of Clubs. Yeah, all right. So, again, you've got that nurturing, that, you know...
Yeah.
Well, that mother hen bit going on there, and Taurus. Okay, because that's Taurus sign. All right, so let me look here what you have going for this particular year and see what you are here. Let's see. There we go. That's what I say. There we are. Let's see. And you just had it. Okay, so you're about, just going to look here a little bit and see exactly what part of the year you're in here, because this particular system uses, it like assigns the planets, you know, to different, like the 60-day, say 52-day pickup. Say 52 days, okay, let's see, 20 seconds. Okay, so like your Mercury period starts on your birthday, and then your Venus time actually started June 14th. The Mars time for you started August 4th, and that's where you're still at. You're still in your Mars time, which generally is dealing with men. Venus is dealing with the women's things. Mercury is short-lived things. But you're right, pretty much, I'll say, in the middle of your Mars time. And then for the rest of your year, you do have Jupiter starting September 25th. You'll have Saturn starting November 16th. Your Uranian time starts January 8th of 2015, and your Neptune time will start March 1st of 2015. But right now, where you're at in Mars, dealing with men, what have you got going here? Let's see. Now, you do have, you've got a nine of diamonds and you've got a ten of hearts. It's like, I'm just going to look at your long range here. You've got a jack of diamonds for this particular year. So you've got a lot of creative influences going on. Jacks deal with money, but they also deal with your values, what's important. It's one of your yearly cards. Your Pluto result card is an ace of clubs. Your result card, or your Pluto card, they're read as a pair, is an ace of clubs. The result card is a jack of clubs. The environment card is also a jack of clubs, and your displacement card is the eight of hearts. So you've got a certain amount of, you know, that love, that charm that's going on this year. The jacks, the jack of clubs, there's a lot of creative energy there, and I'm just going to say, It's the result card and it's your environment card both. So you're getting a double, like a double blessing there. It's like, you know, it's Jack can be like a younger man, or, you know, a youthful.
He is younger. This guy's younger.
Younger. Okay, I was gonna say youthful creative energy. The only thing I will say is, there's always a little bit of caution with when the jacks show up like that. Just make sure they're not, you know, they're not playing a game with you. Okay, just make sure they're not, you know, mm-hmm. stringing you along, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's like, once, you know, if you determine that, that's kind of cool. With the nine of diamonds, this is one of those where as one door closes, another door opens. So there's going to be a completion of some sort. Nines can be a harder one. They can be some losses financially. But they also are, they're like one of the universal cards. So it's like, with that being a diamond, it's your universal values. So it's one of these times where you're really looking toward spirituality. It's like, if you're too material with this, it's like it will cause some problems. If you're looking for your spiritual, you know, spiritual side and really looking at expanding that, you'll have some blessings there. Now, the Ten of Hearts, you've got a pretty good, I'll say, social group. It's like, seems like you have some support either family, friends, you know, what I call adopted family, you know, those people who are your buddies, you know, that kind of stuff. Somewhere along the line, you've really got a pretty good social group somewhere, or social support, whether it's, you know, what popped to mind was the bingo hall. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, or like the coffee clutch, or, you know, something like that, where, you know, but it's just like friends getting together to talk, you know, maybe at the library, the book club, you know, something like that. So you've got some social support with this. Just be a little cautionary that you don't open your purse strings too much, okay, with this. So it's like, okay. Otherwise, because if you get too open-handed, it's like you could experience some, I'll just say, some financial losses with this, okay? Moving into Jupiter, though, your Jupiter time frame with that, you've got a four of clubs and a six of spades. So it's like fours is always about stability, especially in the Jupiter, and it's like the four and six, those are very, you know, strong positive cards. Six is like the card of fate, the card of karma. So, you know, whatever's going to happen with that, that's a really good placement to have it, is in the Jupiter time frame, because you are more likely to get the blessings from it than, you know, that I'll say it's blessing than the malediction, okay? But there's really, you want a stability, and there's, what's your communication with the club? So it's like there, you know, whether you go take like some classes, or whether, you know, whether you're part
I'm
of the
doing
club.
Doing that,
you,
yeah.
Are you? Okay. See,
yeah.
That's, I'll say you're right on track there then, you know, with what you're supposed to be doing with that. That's really good. But it's like, you know, with communicating any of this, you know, things, you know, yeah, like say school or, you know, written stuff, communicating with people, okay? The Saturn time frame. Now, you've got a couple really positive cards actually in your Saturn time frame too. You've got a four diamonds, which is, you know, that's good. It kind of overrides whatever negative influence that Saturn might bring. And you've got that jack of hearts. So it's like you've got that creative energy again there, you know, with, you know, friends. And I'll say it's not just romance. The hearts are about our relationships. So it's like whatever kind of relationship, you know, if you, and that's, you know, of course, that's a month or so, you know, that's a couple months off there is that Saturn time. So just be careful at that time. Of really, again, that's going to be, you know, be careful of getting involved romantically and financially with someone during your Saturn time, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. The Uranian time frame, is that king, you've got the King of Spades and you've got a Queen of Diamonds. King of Spades is always about, you know, taking a new track and really, you know, steering your life in a different, you know, not a different direction, but, you know, in the direction that you want to go. It's being the captain of your own ship, really, really, you know, making that decision, you know, here's where I want to go, here's what I want to do. With that Queen of Diamonds supporting, queens are about self-mastery in your values and your finances. The only cautionary there is Queen of Diamonds likes to spend. So it's like, don't overspend during that time, okay? In the Neptune time, now you've got a really cool one because most times Neptune only has one card. This year, you've got a Jack of Diamonds and a Four of Diamonds in your Neptune time period. So again, this is, which is kind of interesting because you have the Four and the Jack and the Saturn. Neptune is about, you know, your dreams, your fantasies. It can be, you know, daydreams. It can be goals, but it can also be illusions. So again, just be careful. You got that Jack of Diamonds, which is going to be talking, which is, you know, also your yearly card, interestingly enough. So you got a lot of creative energy this year, and it's dealing with, you know, again, with your values, with your finances. That Four there is wanting to be stable in your finances, but again, it's in the Neptune time frame. Be cautious of any business deals that you might have with a younger man. Okay, and again, that's, you know, that's a little further on down the line. It's like, you know, go back in archives and, you know, get this again for the dates and times and that kind of stuff. So yeah, you know, this I would say, you know, dealing with men, and it's like, it looks like a fairly decent year. You know, you've got, like I say, you've got that Eight of Hearts there with your displacement. So you've got the emotional power to bring in what you want. Just be careful because, you know, the old saying of, you know, be careful what you wish for because you're likely to get it, okay? For good, bad, or otherwise, okay? So, but yeah, if that's, you know, and if you're in, you know, a schooling situation, that kind of stuff, yeah, go for it. You know, it's like, you know, it does show that, like I say, that Ten of Hearts is there for that social support, for, you know, doing fun stuff together, you know, with the relationships that you have there. So it's like, yeah, awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Well, there's a lot of good things to look forward to then. Yeah.
Seems like there
on a steady flow. On a steady flow.
It really is.
Good. I went through a depressing time for 3 months, and I popped out of that by doing small things one at a time, and now I seem like I'm back on track, so I'm happy about that.
Excellent. Really good. All righty.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. I was going to say, if you have, you know, again, I'm gonna defer to my colleagues tomorrow. It's like, because Annabelle and Brenda and Leslie are all really amazing and awesome ladies who, you know, Leslie's really good about getting messages from the other side, that kind of stuff too. So it's like, if you want to find out if any of your beloved ones on the other side have some advice for you on this guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. When is that, tomorrow?
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Our show is from 1 to 3 on Eastern time, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. So whatever time zone you're in, adjust that to Eastern time. Yeah, okay.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that would be super to get a message from the other side. Okay.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. All right. And let's see, 520, you're hanging in there. So who are we talking with, and what is your question today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Christina.
Katrina?
Christina.
Christina, okay, there we go.
And I've been married 27 years, and I was just wondering what's in store for me and my husband, if there's any messages we need to know. His birthday is 10/31/66, and mine's 4/22/66.
2/66. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm gonna say he has the same birthday as, like, if you heard our show earlier, what Ron was saying. It's like, who was it? Nevada. That is Nevada's birthday too. So.
Oh, wow.
October 31st is, like, and he was saying how they have parades and that kind of stuff, and they celebrate Statehood Day, so it's kind of cool. And you guys both year the fire horse. I just say odd bits and pieces of information there. Okay, so he is a Scorpio. His is a Four of Hearts, and he's got an Eight of Hearts and an Eight of Diamonds. Wow, powerful cards. Okay, and you at that 422, Wow, that is really amazing. As I do, I just suddenly realized this. Our previous caller was also 422.
I know. I was listening to that, and I was like, it's weird. I'm like, oh, my God.
This is all crazy. Synchronicity.
Yeah.
I know, we do. We tend, I mean, when I've done this, and it's like, it seems like we get a lot of, at least a couple, three callers, either with the same date or the same card. So it's like, and we have, it's like the first gal, like the one guy, she's about, he was a queen of clubs, and then Donna's a queen of clubs, and now you're a queen of clubs. Yeah, so I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Okay, well, let's see what's going on here. Let's say for the two of you. Okay, I can kind of do the general. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at yours first, okay, just in terms of what's going on. Let's see. Queen Club then. So, oh, boy. Help me out with the math here. 66, 76, 86, 96, 6, and then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So you are both, you're 48 and he's going to be 48.
Correct.
That, okay. So, okay. So right now he is 47. Okay, he's finishing that year. I will say you guys had a transition like probably 3 years ago when you were both turning, when 44, because 44 is called your rebirth year, and that's when things are kind of fuzzy and you're not, you know, exactly sure exactly sometimes where things are going. On your 45th year, though, that's called a rebirth, and that's when people usually have what's called a midlife crisis. And it's like a lot of turmoil can go on because you're really taking, that's the day that you're taking your birth cards, and you are really upping it an octave, you know, so you can, I'll say, prepare for the next 45 years of your life, you know. So it's like, because you spend the first 45 years learning about, you know, this planet, what's going on. And then you have that opportunity to go, wow, I can take this and I can really, you know, tweak some stuff up. So it's like, yeah. So I'm going to guess that you guys both had some interesting events happen about 3 years ago. So good, bad, or ugly. Some
yeah.
shifts for sure. Okay. This year, your long range card. Okay. Let's see if I can do a comparison. I'm going to get yours and his both together here. Let me see. I'm going to do them kind of as an individual, but kind of, you know, it's like, it's going to be individual together. I don't know if that's going to make sense, but it's like, I'm going to read these as individual things happening. What I will say is what I need to define here is the difference in the months and the days and the don't want to do that. Hang on. I hit a wrong key on my whatever it was there. Okay. Don't want to do that. All right. So what I'm going to do is, and this will be an archive because this is one of those moments of, you know, yeah, this grab your pencil or you grab your pen, you know, whatever. But come back and, you know, you can download these in archive. So for April 22nd, okay, it's the same thing. It's like your Mercury time starts in it for 52 days, April 22nd. Your Venus time frame goes June 13th until August 3rd. Your Mars time goes from August 4th to September 24th. Your Jupiter time goes September 25th to November 15th. Your Saturn time goes from November 16th to January 7th, and this will be the next year, January 7th of 2015. You have the Uranian time frame will go January 8th up till April 30th, or no, excuse me, not April, February. February 28th, there we go. Last day of February, unless it's a leap year. And then Neptune starts March 1st and goes until your next birthday. So that's generic. You know, that is your personal birthday or birth year times, like every day, every year. Every year is the same with that. Now with him, with that October 31st bit, okay, he's got Mercury, of course, starting on October 31st. His Venus time starts December 22nd, so right before the holidays. The Mars time for him will start February 13th, and this coming year will be of 2015. His Jupiter time will be April 6th, so he's having his Jupiter time frame about the time you're having your Mercury. Okay, so that's how you guys are overlapping there. The Saturn time frame for him starts May 28th. The Uranian time frame starts for him July 19th. And then that's where he's right at right now is the is in that Uranian time frame. It's like, you know, think of it Aquarius, you know, the double. I always thought it was double lightning bolts, and Ron told us, well, no, it was actually supposed to represent, you know, water, because Aquarius is an air sign, but it's a water carrier. Okay, and then that'll go right up until September 8th. And that happens. Oh, we didn't talk about the supermoon today. Darn, but we probably will next week. This year we have a supermoon, the third one, coming on September 8th. And then he starts his Neptune time on September 9th of 9-9. Okay, so that's your hubby with that, with his October stuff. So let's look at yours, though, and see where you're at. You've got, for your year-long, you have got a Nine of Hearts, which is... it's shifting. It's changing. It's like, you know, it's restlessness. It's like, you know, somehow some relationships, and I'm not saying your romantic relationship, but it's a year and a time really that you're focused on relationships. And some, I'll just say some of the relationships you have with different people are likely to coming to a close. Okay. Whether they're people who have died, because, you know, a lot of times if you have elderly parents, you know, it can be the death of a parent, you know, or, elderly people, or sometimes it's friends who have, grown and gone on, you know, whatever, and just, you know, you kind of grow apart type of stuff. Sometimes, I mean, it can be a marital relationship split, but it's like, I wouldn't base that on this just on one card. So I'm going to say, you know, it's more likely that just relationships is at the forefront of your thoughts this year. With Pluto result. Okay, red is the pair. The Pluto card is a Jack of Spades. Your result card is a Four of Diamonds. So the Pluto card is the thing that we set as a challenge for us during the year. And that Jack of Spades, it's youthful energy, it's creative energy, but it's also one of the spades, so it's like it talks about career, it talks about jobs, it can talk about health, you know, some of the challenges that may be coming up this year. The result, though, is... that Four of Diamonds, which can be four for stability, and four is always about stability. So somehow or other, you're going to find the solution for the challenge, the Jack of Spades challenge. The solution is that Four of Diamonds, which is stability, either in values or in finances, you know, in your work, that kind of stuff. The Environment card, which gives you a blessing for the entire year, is an Eight of Diamonds. Gives you as a power card. It's really heard that said, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. It's like, so that was probably invented by an Eight of Diamonds person. So it's like you have that kind of energy going on kind of for the year as a blessing, okay? Doesn't mean go out and buy out the malls, but it's like it means you do have a certain amount of financial power, power with your values. And then you have as a displacement card the Ace of Diamonds. So aces are the starting energy. It's like, you know, they tend to be restless. There's a, you know, again, there's a lot of, you know, creative ideas there. And it can be ideas for finances or, again, ideas for values. So it's like, you know, maybe spiritual journeys, you know, that kind of thing. For your year here, let's see. In Mercury, you have like a Three of Clubs and an Eight of Clubs. Eight of Clubs is the most psychic card in the deck. The Three of Clubs gives a lot of creative energy towards writing, speaking, talking. If you were thinking about, you know, going back to school, you know, that kind of stuff, but, you know, education in some way, you know, but just a diversity. There's going to be like two or three opportunities, I'll say, for different things like that, and that would have been in that Mercury time frame. And these kind of do what I call a watercolor wash, so anytime, you know, things come up like in those areas for the year, it kind of gives that flavor to it. The Venus time frame for you, you've got a Six of Hearts and a Two of Hearts. Six of Hearts is the kind of the karmic card with relationships, so it's like they're, you know, dealing with women, so it's like maybe, you know, dealing with women in your family or friends. It can be a time when it's like stasis. It's like when things can go along smoothly. It can also be a time when it's like what I call a fact-finding tour. It's like when you really kind of find out bits and pieces, you know, to the puzzle piece of life, and it's like, and where am I going with my, you know, second 45 years of my journey here? Two of Hearts is typically called the Lover's card. It's like a union of two hearts. If you have children, you know, it could be the birth of a grandchild. It could be getting a new pet. You know, maybe a special anniversary, you know, it's like it could be a reunion of, you know, with your husband, you know, something like that, you know, kind of kindling the flame again type of thing. Mars, you've got an Eight of Hearts and you've got a Nine of Spades. So you've got the emotional power, you know, again, to bring in, you know, things that, again, that's the, you know, be careful what you wish for because you might get it. You're going to get it if you wish for it hard enough. But you've got the emotional power and charm to really be dealing well with either the masculine fields or, you know, groups of men or, you know, boss at work, you know, something like that. That nine of spades. Nine of spades also can be indicative of health situations, whether it's health of relatives, whether it's health, you know, your health. It can be in the workforce. It can be a line of work that might be coming to an ending. Nine somehow or other indicates closure with things. So, you know, that's, again, as one door closes, another opens, you know, so there's going to be some kind of closure in that Mars frame, which I think you're in. I can't remember. I think you're in Mars or Jupiter. I can't remember exactly which one you're in. Your Jupiter time frame, though, you've got a 10 of hearts and you've got a 3 of spades. 10 of hearts, you're going to have that social support. You're going to have that, you know, 10 loving people around you. It's like, you know, 10 people who are supporting you for whatever reason. The 3, another 3. 3 of spades this time. Again, that creative energy, and it can be creation for work. It can also be, the threes can also give you stress and worry. So it's like they're highly creative, and if you don't use that creative energy to, you know, be positive with it, it can be like the, you know, the squirrel running in the cage, you know, round and round in circles. It can be that kind of worrisome energy. So it's really kind of take the bull by the horns and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, put this, I'm going to carry my little, you know, spiral bound note card there and, you know, my pencil. And like, when I get awesome ideas, I'm going to write those down. No matter how harebrained they might sound, it's like they'll come in useful later somewhere along. So just, you know, kind of be noting your thoughts and creative things, because that's your creative muse coming in there.
Does it say anything about travel? I mean, is there
travel? Okay. That would be usually under Neptune. Your Neptune time frame about traveling here. Let's see. Let me look that up. And that is, you've actually got a 7 of spades for Neptune in traveling this year. You do. So let's see what the indicators are for that. Because a lot of times it can be travel either over water or, you know, to foreign places or some along those lines. Okay. Or it can bring about, okay, with that spades. Spades is health and work problems and learning to practice faith. All the 7 of cards is about, you know, have a little faith. You could have some difficulties at work or illness related to travel, or something secret, or, you know, something with the pharmacy stuff. Worry, unrealistic expectations, or other negative habits would be the cause of difficulties during that Neptune period. But the spiritual side of the combination suggests that you could really get a high state of awareness and freedom of mind when you look in the mirror and be honest with yourself and look within for the answers, you know, to things you face. But it's a traveling. It's like, so I'm going to say, you know, the Neptune and the traveling over water stuff, it might not be the best time to travel in the Neptune time frame, but that doesn't mean that you won't have, okay, now your very next one, their 40th year. And that's the 4 of hearts. I suddenly realized I was looking at your husband's, because I went, wait a minute, it's like that all changed. You do have a 5 of spades in your Saturn time frame, and fives are about travel. So it's like with that 9 of hearts, you've got the 5 of spades. Traveling with that can, you know, you can actually relocate. You could actually find a new home, but you'll be very restless. It's a restless spirit at that point in time. Although there could, you know, there could potentially be some hardships involved with traveling, you know, with the travel, like, you know, you might be traveling to see sick friends or something like that. And there is a 9 of hearts with that in that Saturn, and that's, I'll say that's yours. So it might be, you know, might be friends are sick and you're going to go see them type of stuff. The Uranian time frame, you've got a 4 of spades and a 7 of spades in the Uranus time frame. So, you know, some stability for health and work. And again, having that faith. It's like, and then you that completed with yours. Now, I'm going to look at your husband's. Wow. Now that's, okay. What did I just, okay, 9 hearts. Okay, now he's got the Jack of Diamonds for his year-long card. So a lot of creativity there. Now, he started out his year, let's see, and where he's finishing up, because his is going to be, okay, yeah, he's in the the swing side of his. He's on the he's over the, you know, we'll say over the hill for the year. It's like you know, it's like I think he's in his Jupiter or Saturn time frame. No, he's not over the hill, you know. Yeah, but there is some in the Jupiter time frame. He's got a five of hearts and a two of diamonds, which, like, if there's going to be any traveling, it's like, you know, it's you know, the restless heart type of thing. It's like, you know, so he's restless with things, but there's, and wanting companionship, you know, that companionship, the two of diamonds. It was value. So it's like, and he also had a Venus. In his Venus time frame, he had a five of diamonds. So again, there's restless energy, you know, restless energy going on with him in values, in finances, some restless energy in relationships under Jupiter. And like I say, people tend to travel when, you know, when they get restless. So doesn't always mean it's the best time to do it, but, you know, but that's under Jupiter. So it's like, you know, anything that might happen, it's like, you know, be a pop more, you know, a more positive thing. You do have, let's see, are there any other fives for him? Starting out, it's like Ace is another one that you might try under. It's in the Uranian time frame him, which is, like I said, I'm pretty sure that's going to be coming up. Let me look at his dates again, just so I'm trying to fix those in my mind, because his was the October birth date. So let me see again where he is at with some of this. Right. Okay. He is in that Uranian time frame right now. So that's because that started July 19th. Okay. And we're not into September yet. And his Neptune time will start on September 9th. Okay. So that's where he's at. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. No. Nope. That's you. Okay. Oh, wait. And he's on his 47th year. Wait a minute. I was looking at his 48th year. Just a moment here. Let me back that up here. So, okay. That changes that significantly. He had his long range year for his 47th year is the five of clubs, which is a restless energy all year. Okay, because he won't get that jack of diamonds until after his birthday on October 31st. So this year, yeah, okay. So what he is still finishing out in that Uranus time frame, he's got a nine of clubs and he's got a five of hearts. So again, this is restless energy, but he's had restless energy all year. So it's like, so yeah, you guys might find yourself, you know, traveling, or, you know, he wants to travel, you know, if he can. Nine of clubs, communication. There's some kind of ending with either schooling or communications. I want to say work, but it's like, I don't know, it's like, but any of the teaching, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like he's coming to an end with something, an end of, you know, one door is going to close, another door is going to open. And then there's with that nine, combined with that five of hearts. So he's got, you know, the restlessness of the heart. So there's restlessness going on. I'm going to say probably, possibly with a job, with, you know, a job situation or a living situation, something like that. Under this time frame, it's going to change a little bit. You know, it's like that's going to happen. That's going to, you know, be the strongest impulse for him until September 8th. And then there's going to be, you know, again, there's that super moon there. And then that Neptune starts September 9th, and he's got a six of hearts and a queen of spades. So there's that fate, you know, the fate card with, you know, or the card of karma combined with the relationships. It's like there's going to be a lot of stuff, I'll say either a balancing of the scales, or if things are going along smooth in the relationship, you know, they'll continue to go that way type of stuff. With the Queen of Spades, that is about self-control, and it's about self-mastery, and that's with his health, with his job, with his, you know, career. It's like, you know, work, that kind of stuff. You know, make sure if he's, you know, he's still in the workforce, it's like, this is kind of, I hate to say your job, mom. No. A lot of times okay. We refer to our husbands as, you know, the biggest child. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's like, make sure he doesn't overwork himself to the point he gets sick. Okay. Cause there's a lot of, queens are very, you know, it's a very diligent card, very hardworking card. They can also bring, you know, ill health if you overwork. Okay. That way. Now, some of his challenges for this year, where he's finishing up, he had a nine diamonds. So, you know, a changeability, that universal card in finances as well as values. And then his result card for it was the King of Hearts, which is a loving father card, which is, you know, that's, I'm going to say, you know, whether it's, you know, the loving father for, you know, your grandchildren, you know, whatever, it's just like he's going to find his happiness and answer to questions by, you know, being the loving father. Environment card for him was the Queen of Hearts, which is, ironically enough, the marriage card. So it's like there's, you know, should have been blessings this year, you know, for him in relationship with you. His displacement card this year, the Ten of Clubs. So that would be the, you know, it'd be kind of, that's more of a challenging one. But the tens are always really fortunate cards. But it's like, so, you know, whatever challenges there are is likely to be overcome, you know, that he's had with work, health, communication, you know, that kind of stuff. So that was kind of his yearly influences. But he's really had that restlessness this year. So, yeah, you guys might find yourself traveling. Let's see.
Restlessness. We had one of our children was messing around with drugs and we got him off of been clean almost a year now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I am thinking that restlessness was maybe part of that. I'm not sure. But my husband's been so emotional. I don't know if that has to do with that. You know, I don't
know. But I was going to say, the emotions are with the heart. So it's like, you know, the hearts, that's what I was saying with the, you know, with his answer to that, you know, the King of Hearts, that's the relationship and that's the love. So anytime you see that heart there, it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like he's had some turmoil with that, but it's like he's going to find the best path for him and the path to peace is going to be being the loving father, which is, you know, which is good. That's a positive thing for him.
Oh, and yeah. Another thing, I mean, you're right on, because like he does drywall, so now he took, you know, our son with him to work, so he is teaching him that skill now. So I mean, cool. You're right on everything. I'm like, okay. So I'm just sitting here listening. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Great.
You know, and if you have any other questions, what I'm going to say, you know, on the more intuitive line or for, you know, for messages, because I'm going to say with what's going on in your family, I'm getting a push, but it's like, it's not my gift. Okay. I'm not talented enough to, I'll say to do this on air. It's like, I mess with it off air, but, I will say there's somebody that wants to give you a message, especially in relation to your son and for you guys. So I'm really going to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. We'll be here from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have Annabelle and Brenda. I think they'll be with us. Usually they're just with us for the first hour. And then Leslie Journey is really awesome and amazing. I believe she'll be with us for the second hour. So you might get some of the insights or get some of what the messages are from the other side. It's like, I'm going to say there's, I don't know if it's grandparents or great-grandparents, but it's like somebody on the other side is being very encouraging. So just going,
well,
you know.
Great. Well, my mom and my father are both passed away. I mean, my mom's been passed away for 30 years, and then my dad's been passed away, oh God, 20 some years. So, and then my grandparents too. So I'm anxious for that tomorrow. I'm like, I guess if it's meant to be, I'll get a message tomorrow. Yay!
All righty, sounds good. Well, like I said, all I can say is right now is they're really encouraging you. It's, you know, they've always people on the other side, you know, want to go, hey, you know, we really love you. We really, you know, have been, they've been with you. They've been with you to give you support through the years, whether you recognize it or not. You know, and sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't. It's like it's a little story that I heard and I love to share, because it's kind of like the guy that had, you know, has faith in God, and it's like, and here's the floodwaters are coming. So they're evacuating his area, and he goes, no, I'm not going to evacuate. You know, God will save me. So it's like, you know, so they, okay, so floodwaters are higher. They're on his porch. You know, they come in out and they say, come on, you know, we got to evacuate. No, God will save me. So they come back later. Waters have risen, you know, to the second story, and it's like, you know, here's the boat again. It's like, no, you know, I'm, you know, God will save me. It's like, and then finally the floodwaters are up on his roof, and the guy's on his roof, and a helicopter comes by with the ladder, and it's like, you know, climb on up. He goes, no, God will save me. So it's like, and yet the floodwaters,
I love you, yes. The floodwaters overwhelm his house. He's washed downstream and he drowns. And as he's, you know, standing talking to St. Peter at the pearly gates, et cetera, you know, he confronts God and he says, well, you know, God, I believe in you. Why didn't you save me? And God was like, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What do you want? So sometimes our folks on the other side, they do ordinary things. It's like, you know, either the pennies from heaven or the, you know, dimes from heaven or, you know, or butterflies. And we got 90 seconds.
And I've been getting those butterflies and dimes. That's so funny. Oh, God, you are so on. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, call back, like I say, call back, and we'll see what more they have to say, if there's more specific, because I'm thinking there's something in specific with the grandson, so it's like, yeah. But we'll see what they have to say tomorrow. All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
And thank you for your wisdom and sharing it. And you have a blessed day.
Yes, and you too. All righty.
Okay.
Well, guys, yes, we've come to almost the end of another show here. And remember Ron at livingastro@aol.com. Get a hold of him. He is our amazing astrologer, and that's why he had to get off today. He was actually doing a chart for somebody personally that he was doing there. Golly. Tomorrow, like I said, I believe, well, I'm going to double check, but I believe we have Annabelle and Brenda and hopefully Leslie Journey on tomorrow. So we'll see them then. And thank you guys in the chat. Appreciate that. It's like, yeah, Maggie, I'm going to try and call you here in a little bit. So. And Bonnie said, for sure, she's going to be back next week on Monday. Yay. So it's like third time will be the charm, because this is the third week. As I've said this, the third time is like, and she will be back on Monday, guys. So anyway, have an awesome day, and we will see you all again.